Hi, everybody. My name is Judy, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm your speaker for today. I feel really blessed to be at this meeting today and see all the people that are here. In particular, it's really nice to see my sister and my husband visiting the meeting. This feels a little emotional to me because the very first sponsor that I ever had is at this meeting, and the people that knew me when I was young are at this meeting. It's just really special to me. So anyway, I will start. They ask you to share your experience, strength, and hope, what you were like, what happened, and what you like now. So if I go back to the very beginning, as I have actually learned to understand myself better, you have to start at a very small age. I have never not been a compulsive overeater. I don't have any memories before being a compulsive overeater. Something that I have discovered through this journey with the pandemic is that I have PTSD. I've had it since I was 2 years old. When I was two, they did some testing at the doctor, and they thought I might be like the boy in the plastic bubble that had an immune deficiency. And they told me that I had to have mandatory shots when I was a little kid. I had them once a week for about a year and a half, 2 years. I don't remember that many actual memories of having them because I was so young when I had them. But I happened to have, they were a very traumatic experience for me. So I basically didn't know that I really had that as a problem until my 20s, when I had a panic attack because I had to have an immunization when I was at grad school at Rutgers. So when I was a little kid, I had these shots, and I never really knew that it was really a traumatic experience, but it was the developmental stage of being 2 years old and having a doctor that had no bedside manner and no empathy for a little kid screaming. And basically, I was ignored and treated like an object. So the effect on me was sort of the way a nurse explained to me, more like a child being raped, like being picked up and manhandled and whatever. So I had that at a very young age, and I've always had anxiety. I didn't know what anxiety was because I always had anxiety. And what I learned at a young age when I would get out of these sessions with the doctor is my parents would take me out to eat and they would feed me. And I learned at a very young age to pair carbohydrates and sugar with calming down. I didn't know anything. I was 2, but I had that at a pattern at an early age. So from the time that I could remember, I always had a problem with sugar. It was like heroin for me. And, you know, there was never enough. I couldn't stop. And as a little girl, there were constant wars with my mother, who was always trying to limit how much I was eating, except I couldn't really stop. So we had these problems that went on through my growing up years. This was very demoralizing and humiliating. And I also simultaneously, because I had challenges from being traumatized, I was bullied in elementary school from kindergarten to eighth grade. So I didn't really know how to cope with things. So the way that I did was eating, and I just ate and ate and ate however much I could eat. I snuck eating. My mother tried. I mean, by the time I was a teenager, I had well, obviously the weight became a problem as I grew older. When I was 12, I went to Weight Watchers. That was my first round of the diet clubs that we did. And then I went from Weight Watchers to liquid diets, which my mother thankfully stopped me from doing because she read that there were some things about your kidneys and things that wasn't good. So basically, food and weight was a big part of my childhood. And I had a lot of problems with dealing with other kids because of socialization issues from the trauma and not being able to deal with them, just interacting with people, you know. Well, as my parents basically tried to handle my problem as I got older, some of the things that went on in my childhood experience was my father would never go. I was telling my husband this yesterday. My father went shopping twice a week. And the reason he went shopping twice a week, my mom worked like longer hours. He was a teacher. So he went shopping twice a week because if he went shopping once a week, there wouldn't be enough food to get us through the week. So he didn't go once a week. And by the time I was a teenager, my parents actually had put, they used to have a pantry where we, kept all the dry good foods and all that. And they locked the pantry door because I would get into everything that was in there. I was telling my husband yesterday, when I was a teenager, I used to play the flute and in the band. And I would practice in my room and then everybody would close their door because they want to watch TV or whatever in my house. And that was a manipulation that I used because once everybody had their door closed, then I could go back down to the kitchen and eat on monitor. So it was kind of basically it took over my life. Like I had no self-esteem. I couldn't control how I ate or how I weighed. My mom gave me a hard time. I'm sure she was doing that out of love, but it didn't really help very much. And I remember my sister could probably tell you this story. She was at a neighbor's house when she was little, maybe 6 or 7, I don't know how old, but I was telling my husband yesterday that she told one of the neighbors that we had a poltergeist in my house because that's that the Carol Ann movie came out. And my parents had been making jokes that the food in the house just disappeared and that we must have a poltergeist. So she told the neighbor that. The neighbor called my mother up and wanted to know about the poltergeist in the house. So it was like a big secret, and everybody in the family, it was a very big dysfunction. Everybody in the family had a reaction to it or an experience of it. And it was really, I couldn't cope with certain feelings because of my trauma that nobody knew I really understood I had. And I just thought that I had a needle phobia. I didn't know it was trauma. And then what happened to me was I used to go to a summer camp. Both of my parents worked at the summer camp. And there was a woman that worked at the summer camp, my mother, in her intention to try and help me with my problem, because my father somehow understood. He used to say to her, "Don't you understand? She just can't help it." It's like somehow he understood there was no limit on this and I couldn't stop. And he had some compassion for that. My mother was friendly with this woman at work and had heard that she lost 100 pounds. And so she was kind of anxious for me to find somebody that I could get some help with. And so she, it told me to go talk to that lady. And it turned out that the lady that I knew was in OA. And she started talking to me and she started trying to help me. And that's where I started to learn about what compulsive overeating was. And, I knew that it was a problem, but I wasn't quite sure how to deal with it. I started with her. She was like my first sponsor. But then she passed me to somebody else because it was like too personal. My mother became resentful. She didn't want to hear me talking to her about like my family stuff. It was like too personal. So basically, when by the time I got to college, I was pretty. I think I was 260 pounds, and I really didn't know how to handle anything, but OA came into my life. So at that time, I went to some meetings, but I didn't have a car to drive to them. So basically, I was kind of like limited to going to meetings when I could get to them or when other people would take me. And I started to go to meetings in Highland Park. But I couldn't stay abstinent. I just couldn't stop eating. And, I kind of grew up in a household where it was really not a safe place to make mistakes. If you didn't do things the right way, you were really given a hard time about it and made to feel really bad. And so I couldn't tell anybody that I was still eating because I was so ashamed of that. So I used to go to meetings and lie. And I would say that I was doing okay and I would never admit that I was eating or having any problems. And then basically it wasn't really working for me. And then the person that was sponsoring kind of like understood that I wasn't being honest and there was something else going on and let me go because she felt that she wasn't helping me. And so at that point, I decided, well, you know, I'm not even good enough for OA. And so I stopped coming to meetings. Also, the other thing was my mother felt very jealous of me being in the program. She like wanted me to come to her with all my problems and she didn't understand why I needed anybody else. So I kind of felt like if I didn't, if I stayed in OA, I was going to lose my mother. Because my mother was really giving me a hard time. She would give me the car when I came home to visit on a trip from college to go to see a friend, but I couldn't go to an OA meeting with her. So P.S., 3 years went by, and I didn't come to meetings. And basically, my eating continued, and I was also drinking, too. And then God had a funny way of sort of putting it all in my face. I had moved off campus my senior year of college, and I was working three jobs, and I socked away enough money to get a car, and I moved off campus into an apartment. And I was at campus, off campus for a couple of weeks, and we had been partying pretty heavy one night, and then a drunk driver came along while I was sleeping and totaled my car that I got. Just totaled the car, and my roommates were awakened in the middle of the night by the police, and they were chasing this guy down who had hit my car and totaled it. And he turned out he had a drinking problem, and they found him throwing up behind a Burger King. And I woke up and knew that I didn't wake up when the police knocked on the door because I was partying pretty heavy myself the night before. And that was kind of like the end of it. Like, I realized that day, where are you going with this? You know, your life is just going this way and you're not getting any better. And there's nowhere really for this to go. So I felt like God sent me a little message by sending me an alcoholic who was unmanageable. It was like the signal from the universe that my life was unmanageable and that I needed to do something different. And that is when I picked up the phone and came back to the program. Because I just realized that, you know, I hated myself. I wasn't happy. I was depressed all the time. Thank you. And I decided that I needed to come back to the program. So that was in 1988. And 88 is when I started. I think I came back a couple years later. It's been 34 years in this program of abstinence since that point. And it hasn't always been easy, but it was something that I needed to do. And it's changed my entire life completely. Learning to be honest and take responsibility for myself and my feelings and learning how to set boundaries and learning that food wasn't the most important thing in my life and being willing to surrender was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. But I'm very grateful that I did because it's changed my life. I'm a different person today. I have a wonderful husband who loves me and tells me I'm the best thing that ever happened to him. And I met him through my journey, through my program. And it's just been a really, you know, a really good life. And I'm grateful. It's helped me to change my relationships with other people, to restore relationships and rebuild relationships that were damaged. When I was eating compulsively, I was not able to take responsibility for the way I handled life. And today I know what to do, you know, and how to handle things. And food has its place in my life, but it doesn't rule my life anymore. So that's pretty much, I guess, what I could say for today. And thank you all for coming. And I really appreciate you all being here.